Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to episode 27 of the Rarity is Fundamental podcast, and technical difficulties suck. What's up, Internet? This is the Rarity is Fundamental podcast, episode number 27, recorded on August the 6th and the 7th, brought to you by Rarity.net and the Happy Hour Network. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, but you may call me Ray Ray, as I am known throughout the Internet as that entity. Normally, I bring out the podcast on a weekly basis, sometimes even more than that, but I moved back to Southern California, and I'm having trouble with this internet connection here at my sister's place, and as a result, I had to keep pushing the next episode. We finally got one done, but I can't tell you when I'm going to release another episode, so hopefully this all gets fixed by next week. Anyway, what to expect out of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast? I am known as an NBA online writer, so you will hear a lot of talk about that, but I will also deviate from that, and we'll talk about other sports, wrestling, pop music, whatever that comes to mind. Basically, the fundamentals of life with friends and personalities. For the most part, I'll be joined by Adam Jacoby, who I call the greatest storyteller ever. He has his own segment called Storytime with Adam Jacoby, where he will tell one of his great stories and end with a twist. I have my friends called the Gal Pal Squad, who I will talk to about random topics, and as of late, it's been about fashion and dating, so maybe something about that. And I have a segment called Kicking It Old School with Rary and EJ, where I have my friend EJ Christian come on the show and talk about something nostalgic. So that's basically 80s and 90s stuff, and sometimes even something from the 2000s, since, oh my goodness, it's 2015 already. In this episode, I talk to Sean Hyken, an outstanding NBA writer who does NBC Pro Basketball Talk and Bleacher Report. And you know what? Let's not delay this any further. Scratch.
Rary is Fundamental, episode 27. First of all, my favorite storyteller of all time, Adam Jacoby, is with us. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
Good, once we get this podcast done. And our guest, he writes for Pro Basketball Talk for NBC and Bleacher Report. Sean Hyken, how's it going?
I am good, Ray Ray. How about you?
Here's the thing. We've been trying to do this podcast for the past, I don't know, 2 weeks. But because our connection has been terrible,
at some point we're going to do like the oral history of this podcast, and it's going to be just, we're going to have like a whole separate chapters dedicated just to different times we tried to do it and the connection was not up to where it needed to be.
I think my parents run 56K or something. I have no idea what's going on here. So, like, I had a few.
Do they even make 56K modems anymore?
I don't know anymore.
There are like, still millions, plural, of AOL dial-up customers in America.
Did they get free hours from a CD?
I wouldn't have believed it, but, like, there's, I mean.
Do they even still make computers with CD drives on them?
No, I think they're just running computers that are like 10 years old. Cause like my dad, he doesn't use it, but, in his basement, there's a still halfway functional, iMac from legit like 2003.
Nice.
It's one of the ones where
is it the one that the giant, like bulby, like color light thing? Is it that one?
No, it's more recent than that. It's the one that looks like half a basketball.
Oh, so is it like the swivel? This is the one with like the half, right? Yeah. Like the swivel stand. Yeah. My parents have one of the original Macs, like from 1985.
Oh God.
Nice. I think it still works. But when I was in like middle school, they let me pad it out in my room just to use it like a word processor to write papers and stuff, because they wouldn't let me have an actual computer with internet in my room. They paid like a bunch extra to get a 20 megabyte hard drive.
Oh, nice.
Like that was a lot of space.
Do they save their work in floppy disks still?
Oh no, my parents have like stuff.
Oh, man.
Back in the day, they were about floppy disks.
Yeah, do they get free hours from AOL? Like they get it from the mail, the CD, and it's like, yeah, free 60 free hours from AOL.
I wonder if they made those on floppy disks.
I wonder, like
you get 60 free hours on a floppy disk. We had this forever. We had this until I was in like high school. We had this Gateway computer that was just like the biggest piece of garbage of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I want to ask you guys, what is your first screen name on AOL? If you had AOL.
Oh no.
Come on, we're going there. We might as well.
I never had AOL. Okay. AOL. I get to get out of this one because I never had AOL.
Okay, Adam.
Let's see, man. Okay, AOL Instant Messenger. Like, are you talking AIM or like AOL itself?
I think it worked because I know AIM worked for like AIM works under your AOL screen name AOL name anyway. So
okay. So let's see. We had AOL for like a year when I was in high school, but I didn't choose the screen name, so I don't feel like it counts for me. The first screen name that I chose was it was Bort 4000.
What?
Because you know it's a Simpsons reference. My son is also named Bort.
Yeah.
And then 4000 because of the future, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, yeah, we love doing the 3000, 4000 thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
even 2000 sounded super futuristic at one point.
Yeah, it really did. But you know, that whole thing was basically a two-part ripoff. One for the Bort name, and two, because, you know, Conan was still new and fresh and popular, and they were still running the PimpBot 5000. and so I was just ripping that off, too.
Oh, my God. I think my first screen name was Master Ray 5, because I've always wanted to be the Master or whatever, mm-hmm. and 5 was my favorite. 5 was my favorite number. Still is my favorite number, so I went with that. So
because
since Sean didn't have
who wore that,
but no, it was just my favorite number. It wasn't anyone that wore anything.
It wasn't an athlete or anything.
No, okay. Not at all. It was just my favorite number. So Sean, since you didn't have AOL, what about your first? I don't know, internet name somehow.
Yahoo.
I don't know, like first, on a message. Yeah, Yahoo would be good.
I never started signing up for stuff until I was old enough to like actually use my name and feel okay about it. So I just use my name for stuff. I don't have any. I know. I'm terrible at this, but I don't have any skeletons in my closet as far as you know. It's great.
I think I started using Ray Ray. Like, it was my nickname to begin with, but I started using Ray Ray like at like 17, 18. I don't know. I had nothing better to think of, and for some reason it stuck, so I'm cool with that. Adam, did you have any other crazy, weird, I don't know, message board names or Yahoo names or anything like that?
Let's see. Yeah. Most most of my message board names were, I mean, pretty benign. But the Yahoo name I have, and it is operational to this day because it's what I set my PayPal account up under. and please just understand that when I made it, it was a very culturally relevant reference at the time.
But that's okay.
It was the mid-90s, and you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin was very popular, and so my Yahoo email name is HawkFan316.
Breaking glass!
All right.
Awesome. can I start calling you HawkFan316 now?
I'd really rather you didn't do that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I mean, Austin's kind of still relevant somehow.
Yeah. So if anybody's listening and wants to send me money on PayPal, because I just gave out my PayPal name, apparently, that's where to do it. You can send me money for my good jokes.
Yeah.
I would recommend not sending Adam to Toby money for his jokes. That's a...
Oh, my God.
I mean...
I'll send you money to stop making jokes.
We could certainly negotiate a price.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not sure if this episode's negotiable though, because you know, later on Adam has a story to tell us, right?
I do have a story.
Okay, so we'll do that. Anyway, so while we were trying to get a podcast going, a lot of things went on. Ronda Rousey beat up somebody for like 30 seconds. Dante Exum, oh god, Dante Exum, poor guy.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Dante Exum of the Utah Jazz during was it a friendly, right? An exhibition game?
Yeah, it was a friendly between Australia and Slovenia.
Mm, and he tears his ACL.
Yep.
It's weird because, like, most players, if they're in the NBA, their number one priority is the NBA. But yet, you know, I don't know. Do they play too much?
I'm not sure that you can make that argument when it comes to injuries like this unless, you know, it's sort of the same way of saying, like, you know, because it's not like ACL injuries are the result of overuse.
Right.
But at the same time, every time you go out there on the court and you're competing, you're sort of rolling a 100-sided die and hoping that you never roll a 100. If you want to limit the amount of times that you roll that die, then maybe you could say, yeah, this is too much playing. But at the same time, you know, it's a sport that you have to practice at and keep practicing at and keep as sharp as you can, especially when you're as young as Exum is and he still has so much room to grow. You know, he wasn't a great player last year, but the potential is evident. And this is part of the process in terms mm-hmm. of rounding yourself into being a good player. So and it's not as if he was out there against his will. I mean, no one's going to argue that or anything like that. If he really didn't want to play for Australia, he probably wouldn't have been out
there.
That's
true too. And you know, there was a thing where Paul George got hurt last year playing, you know, an exhibition game as well. So, Sean, would you rather have your players rest?
You know, here's the thing. You guys, like, you can carry your ACL playing pickup in the summer, mm-hmm. like at the park. Do you think should there be a rule in the NBA that players can't play pickup in the summer? Or I think that mm-hmm. you know, just because it happened to be an officially sanctioned game with his national team, I don't think it's any different than just, you know, if he was playing pickup or if he was just, you know, if he was just working out. If you could get hurt, you know, working on like shooting drills in your team's practice facility.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Stuff happens. I don't think that you can really legislate out of, you know, other, you can't just, you know, expect guys to just like, oh, it's an off season, just stay in bubble wrap, don't work out, don't play basketball at all. If you wanted to play for the national team, I just don't think that's really a fair thing to do.
Yeah. And
yeah, don't be a 20-year-old. You know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, superstars play year round. Like Kevin Durant plays year round. John Wall plays year round. And I know there's some players that don't play at all in the summer, like Andre Miller is notoriously known for not playing at all, but, you know, he has an old man's game anyway, and, you know, he does fine when he does play on the court. So I guess whatever works for everybody. But at the same time, you do get fatigued, you know, and there's always that risk for injury. So it's really a slippery slope we're talking about here.
Yeah, but I don't think any of these guys are not cognizant of that risk. And it's some, mm-hmm. it's something that you accept, you know, a whole lot earlier than this in the process, and you just keep playing anyway because it's, you know, it's a risky take, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, stuff like this happens. At the same time, it's not 1985 anymore. An ACL won't ruin your career. It'll ruin your year, and it probably changes the trajectory of your improvement. But.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the disaster that it used to be. So he'll get through it. He'll get, you know, paid to rehab, and that'll be fine. His career isn't anywhere close to being over unless there's some weird setbacks or some weird detail about this injury that we don't know yet. And there's no indication that that's the case. So, you know, it's a bummer. But, you know, he'll be all right.
Yeah, and
I also think the Jazz are still going to make the playoffs.
Some people they would, but only August anyway, so I don't really want to talk about that just yet. So about a few weeks ago, and I wanted to talk about this with you guys. So the players had their own player awards because they think the media don't know anything, and it wasn't that much of a hit. It was on BET, but most of the marquee players didn't show up. So should this really be should this be an annual thing? Like, I'm not sure if this should go on, or should they keep trying with this thing?
Well, here's my thing. They had the I'm pretty sure they had the ceremony and then broadcasted it on BET 2 days later. Like, I don't even think it was broadcast in real time. If you want to do an awards show like this, because, like, if you broadcast it, like, 2 days after it airs, something is going to, there's going to be leaks. Stuff is going to leak on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And that's going to kill the momentum. By the time it airs, nobody's going to care. And the other thing is doing it in July. Like, why are you doing an award ceremony for the most recent season of the NBA in July? Mm-hmm. Like, after everybody's already signed with new teams, everybody's already kind of thinking about, you know, free agency and thinking about the next season, and we're in the middle of, like, oh, how guys we looked at Summer League. The NBA gave out the official awards, like, 2 months before that, and a lot of...
Yeah, it's weird, and, you know, I get that, you know, maybe you're trying to fill some sort of space, but like Sean said, there's so much that's already gone on between then and now. I mean, there was a draft, you know. the teams as they are now are dramatically different than they were, you know, when everything was going on, you know, during the season. And so rehashing all the old stuff after everything that's gone on, after the, you know, the normal, you know, transactions and this and that. It does seem sort of weird, and I'm not sure what it accomplishes. But, you know, if these guys want to hand out their own awards and, you know, congratulate themselves and this and that, and if it's fun for them, like, I'm not gonna tell them not to or anything like that. It's just, in terms of having any sort of cultural currency, I don't think this does. It's sort of cool to find out what these guys think about each other, and, you know, whenever, like, Sports Illustrated does those anonymous player surveys and stuff, it's interesting, but, you know, doing it now sort of ruins any reason for it to still be relevant. So, yeah, I mean, they can do whatever they want, but I don't see any reason to pay attention to it in July.
Yeah, well, if far as NBA, how would you feel about it? Because some people think that the draft immediately after the season is over is kind of like, I don't know, not enough time after the season's over. They think they should have it like on July or something, or August. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but then it's like, you know, the season is, it's already so spread out, and maybe I'm just like saying this as somebody who covers the league, and like,
right,
it's basically a 10-month grind as it is. Like, August and September are basically our only real time off.
Right.
So, like, do you want to stretch it out even further and just, you know, make it entirely, I think, a 12-month-a-year thing? What's going to be really interesting is once the new TV deal kicks in, they're going to have an official awards show for the regular awards. Like, that's going to be a thing that gets added to the new TV deal, and I think it's supposed to be around the time of the draft. I don't know the exact details on it, but that's going to be interesting. So I wonder if these players are really so adamant that the media doesn't know anything, like, are they going to show up to that, or are they going to change, like, how the awards are voted on, or, you know, that kind of stuff?
Well, I know the NBA probably wants to be the news cycle 12 months a year, just like the NFL is, that at least they're trying to do right now, so I don't know.
That's too bad. I don't think it's necessary. I get that if you're chasing dollars and headlines and this and that, that's what you want. And certainly the NFL has capitalized on its 12-month news cycle. But, I mean, just look at what the NFL headlines have been today and yesterday. It's stupid Tom Brady stuff and, you know, teams saying dumb things. And it's so easy to get tired of that stuff. And it gets so far away from, you know, the actual sports that are happening. And it just,
I mean,
has Marcus Mariota still not thrown a pick in training camp?
Who cares? I don't. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to just breathe and relax and let everything reset and not have every single player under the microscope for, you know, months at a time. It's okay. Right. It's okay. Let's all relax.
We'll be right back with more Sean Hyken and Adam Jacoby in this very, very delayed Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast.
This is Rowan with BuzzFeed Sports, and you're listening to the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast.
Broke up with my girl last night, so I went to the club.
So I went to the club.
Put on a fresh white suit and a mini coupe, sitting on dubs.
Sitting on dubs.
I'm just looking for somebody to talk to and show me some love.
Show me some love.
If you know what I mean. Everybody jacking me as soon as I stepped in the spot.
I stepped in the spot.
200 bitches in the building, ain't none of them hot,
ain't none of them hot.
Except for this pretty young thing that was working all the way at the top,
all the way at the top.
Shouted, what is her name? Ooh, she made us drinks to drink. We drunk and
got drunk,
and man, I think she thinks I'm cool. She gave me a wink, I wink back, and then I think that we hit it off something proper.
This might be a better podcast to listen to if you drink some adult beverages. Here's more Sean Hyken and Adam Jacoby in the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast.
So, women have been making up in sports as of late. I mentioned Ronda Rousey. Becky Hammon won the Summer League with the Spurs as a head coach there. Mm-hmm. Jen Welter became the first female assistant coach in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
God.
So, they're out here with the Buccaneers women's movement, and they're explaining to the lady fans out there about the term play clock. It's like, why are they out there, what's that term again? Mansplaining to women about the play clock. What's going on here? This is pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, I mean, this isn't the first time that's happened either, because wasn't there the Texas Rangers do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And did the Timberwolves have one? Didn't the Timberwolves have one where, like, where it was like Timberwolves Ladies Night, where, like, if you buy tickets for a suite or whatever, you get like a copy of like the first season of Girls on DVD? Or am I making that up? I feel
it was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard something like that. Yeah. And also, our good friend Lana Berry was at a Rob Gronkowski football camp, and all they really did there was drink and dance.
Mm-hmm.
I just was learning about football. So, yeah, what is up with this?
I mean, it's clearly a strategy that gets copied a lot, and probably for a reason. You know, if these ideas were disasters in practice, they'd stop. So, I get that there are some women who are sort of beginners to the sport, and this is it's an inlet or there's some other word I'm looking for. it's a way for them to get involved without sort of embarrassing themselves and being, you know, the typical what's going on now and this and that. It, you know, if they really do want to, you know, figure out what's going on. That being said, there are lots of female football fans who know what a play clock is and that a running back carries the ball. Mm-hmm. And in lumping them in and by calling it a women's movement, does them a disservice. You know, there's so many female football fans that don't want to find out how to incorporate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers into making snacks, and that don't use Pinterest. So it does them a disservice to, you know, assume that they're beginners. And like one of my female friends on Twitter said, and I wish I could remember who it was, so I'd give her a shout out. this only happens with female fans, that they're the only ones that have to put up with this assumption that they don't know what's going on every single time that a sports team wants to reach out to them. So that's what sucks. And you know, there are male beginners too. I have a friend, I have an old roommate who would, you know, frequently walk in while we're watching the NFL and be like, "Oh, who are these teams? Who's playing?" And you know, there's the little scoreboard blurb that says so, but he didn't know what any of those were. So he'd just be like, "Oh yeah, who are these?" And he just didn't know the sport that well, but he was still a friend and he still wanted to hang out. And so, like, this would be a good thing for him too, except, well, no, because it's only for women and it's for Pinterest and here's how you can buy your special lady jersey. Like, you know, like as if women are in football for the apparel. So I absolutely think that it's cool if NFL teams or sports teams in general want to do beginner outreach for children and adults alike. That'd be fine. What's that?
Yeah. Instead of just lumping in women together, basically.
Exactly.
Just like,
exactly.
Beginner's program. Because, like, I know plenty of women who probably know more than who know more football than I do, that's for sure. So, I mean.
Right. And there's,
well, I saw something really funny on Twitter this morning, and I forget who it was, but somebody said, when is the WNBA team going to make a, you know, for men who are curious about learning about basketball, here's
yes.
Sue Bird to explain really basic things to you. Like, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just stop with the whole thing about, like, oh, women don't know anything about this. You know, like, it's getting old, and they know that this is a disaster, so, like, why do they keep doing these things? I don't know. I mean, I guess there's still people out there who are still, I guess, with that old-school thinking, you know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's 2015, well, you know? You'd think we were past this.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, like I said, you know, there's been some... It's been a good year for women in sports, and then someone sets us back, like, 55 years or something, you know? Like, come on, guys.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. I think that's all we got, but I do know that...
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Adam, you have a story for Sean.
I do. Oh, I do. So, long-time listeners and long-time readers of mytwitter.com know that I've had a little bit of an issue, a little bit of history when it comes to licensing business practices. And it's gotten me in a little bit of hot water, certainly when it comes to rabbit breeding. Just the other day, I had another issue. This whole bureaucracy. Wow, did I really pronounce it like that? Bureaucracy reared its ugly head. I tell you.
Uh huh.
So
how so? Tell me more.
Okay, I'd love to tell you more, Sean. So you know, I enjoy cooking. I believe a man's place is in the kitchen. And I've been getting better at it. I've been practicing my techniques. And one of the sort of areas where my city, my town, is not so good is in terms of baked goods. I think I got a little spoiled by living in Des Moines, but when I moved over here, you know, there just aren't that many options, especially in the rolls. I've started to cook some of them myself. You know, some fresh baked bread if it's done right. I mean, guys, it's fantastic. And I'm sorry to brag.
I agree.
Yeah. And this is going to sound like bragging, but it's the truth. I got pretty good at it. The one downside is, you know, I live alone, and And it's hard to cook for one without having a lot of leftovers. Like, I can deal with the emotional aspect of it. It's the leftovers that's the real problem.
I know the struggle so well. I know the struggle so well.
Exactly, exactly. And so I can't eat six good fresh hamburger rolls, especially because I don't load them up with preservatives before they go bad. So I figured, well, I'll sell these. That's all I'll do. And I'll pick up a little money on the side. You know, my baking will pay for itself if nothing else. And I get to you know, practice my wares and feed, you know, other locals. And yet, guess who comes knocking on my door the other day? The Johnny Law, the police. And I'm like, ah, guys, come on. And Mr. Police Officer was like, hey, we noticed you've been selling baked goods out of your apartment. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's just a little hobby I've got. And this isn't code. This isn't drugs. He's like, no, I really meant baked goods. We know you don't sell drugs. The police know these things. And so I'm like, okay, so what's the problem? And he said, well, you know, you're not a licensed bakery, and we've got, you know, we have these rules in place to make sure that not any Joe Schmo can be out here selling food, and, you know, you can't guarantee that all the food safety codes are being followed and this and that. Like, they, you know, they can, there's no inspectors from the FDA rolling in here and making sure that my workplace is good and sterile and this and that. And so they're like, okay, I mean, you can cook whatever you want, but if you want to sell them in this here municipality, we've got rules against that unless you're licensed and you're inspected. And I'm like, well, okay, I can't afford the licensing and inspections and this and that. I can't do that. Is there anything I can do? And here's the deal, guys. It turns out that this is a bakery-led thing in order to minimize competition. You know, it's sort of the monopoly sort of economics, which I hate. But it only extends to breads, you know, yeasted breads. But anything else I want to cook, you know, if I want to make a flatbread, they're not going to be able to stop me. It's just, you know, if I want to make a normal bread. So I guess the moral of the story is,
what a bunch of haters.
Yeah, yeah. But if I had to sum it up in a way, I guess I would say, I live in Iowa City.
See, I was expecting so much worse than that. I was expecting so much worse.
Well,
I'm actually a little bit disappointed.
Oh, wow.
I had to come up with that in half an hour because I accidentally shot my shot with the man near a mirror as one, because I tweeted that one like a couple hours ago, and then I was like, wait a second, I shouldn't have done that. So this was basically a spur of the moment thing, and you're out here telling me that my quick efforts aren't good enough for you.
The first unsatisfied customer in this podcast.
I can't believe
wow.
it.
Wow. Wow,
customer
dissatisfaction. I mean, you can tell that it was a quickly scraped together thing. You can tell, man. You
I see how it is. I see.
Wow. So, Adam, do you want Sean back on our podcast in the future? I'm kidding.
Well, you know.
Oh, wow.
I guess a little.
Do we have beef now? Is that how this works? Are we gonna like record? Are we gonna record diss tracks on each other now? Is that how this is gonna work?
Sean, oh, Sean, wow. I appreciate your commitment to quality control. I'll say that.
So what is this now?
Yeah, I'm just a man of high standards. Like, I'm trying to figure out if we have beef or not.
Well, it depends. If I keep hiking up the quality.
Okay. You just redeemed it there.
Yes.
You just redeemed it. There you go. You saved it.
Well, that was pun. Thank you for listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Adam, where can we find you on Twitter, and where do you work?
You can find me on Twitter.com at Adam_Jacoby. That's Jacob with an I at the end. And I work at Blackheart Gold Pants, BHGP. And you know, it's almost football season. Camp just started today. So lots of hashtag content going up. I think I've got my name on the front page 4 or 5 times right now. So that's where you can find me.
Mm-hmm. And Sean, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter.com as well, at Hikin, which is just my last name, H-I-G-H-K-I-N. I had to fight to get that handle. I'm very proud of that. And you know, find my work on Bleacher Report covering the Bulls and NBC's Pro Basketball Talk covering the NBA at large, as well as Twitter.com. Again, Twitter's where I have most of my good material. But
yes, same here. Thanks for wasting my time, guys.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ. EJ Christian is with me. How's it going, man?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Okay, so we were supposed to record like 2 weeks ago concerning the whole Hulk Hogan racism thing. And a lot has changed since then, really. And we're basically going to talk about like Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper, opponents in WrestleMania 1. They basically brought wrestling to the forefront. And okay, so let's start with Hogan first. And I will quote this as best as I could without offending anybody.
But here's what he said from the National Enquirer. Apparently from a secret sex tape from like 2006. With Bubba the Love Sponge's wife, Heather Clem. Here we go.
Brooke was the black guy's son. I mean, I don't have double standards. I mean, I am a racist to a point. N-word. But then when it comes to nice people and and whatever, I mean, I'd rather if she was going to some N-word, I'd rather have her marry an 8-foot-tall N-word with $100 million like a basketball player. Yeah. I guess we're all a little racist. N-word. Okay, that I don't condone any of those statements, but then I need to defend him. It's like, he's not a racist, you know, it's just, you know, there's context, whatever, you know, he could be messing around, he could be drunk, whatever. And then he retweets basically someone saying that if President Obama can say the N-word, he's applauded and he keeps his job. Hulk Hogan uses the N-word and he's vilified and loses his job. But there seems to be two different contexts here. Why would you retweet that? You know what I mean? It's hard to defend him after that. And then a few days ago, his daughter, Brooke Hogan, comes out and says that, well, we get racist statements too. So tall white people smell like bologna. It's like, okay. You're a big defender of Hulk Hogan, as I was. What do you say to all of this?
I've been a defender and the flag bearer of Hulkamania and NWO. Yeah, everywhere Hogan goes, I go. You know, I'm one of those fans that, you know, when he turned heel, I was one of those guys that became like a Hogan hater. I just stuck with that. Okay, well, we'll make that adjustment. You know, we'll go ahead and make that adjustment and we'll go heel with them. And 3 years, you know, I've stuck with it. I'm gonna be honest with you. What the initial findings we found out about the, you know, the tapes and all the stuff and the quotes about the alleged racist quotes, you know, it wasn't surprising, because can we be really honest here a second, guys? I mean, let's take away the celebrity part of this real quick. Let's take away all the stuff attached to all these solicit stuff. all racist to some degree? Come on. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Like, forget the fact that Hulk Hogan said what he said. Okay? Look into our own hearts and look into our own minds. Aren't we all just a bit racist on our own accounts also, too? And I feel like everything now is being made politically correct. Look, in no way am I justifying what Hogan said was right, because it wasn't. It's terrible. In fact, I'm an African American man myself, and to me, I first of all, I hate that word, okay, the N-word, okay? And I've been very vocal about that for years, about anybody. I actually get more time when white people, when blacks use that word, because, like, you know, in a lot of ways, I know the idea is, oh, well, I'm black, so I should say I'm whatever, I'm sure you're going to be good at whatever, but, you know, at the same time, it's, to me, what's wrong is wrong, period. It should never be what's good for one, not good for the other, and vice versa, you know. I don't like that idea, but in the case of Hogan, you know, like I said, I he was sorry for what he did. I mean, I hope he really is sorry for what he did. At the same time, you look at this whole thing, you know, what's happened since then. I'm kind of glad we didn't record this podcast when this music issue broke, because then a lot more things have happened since the first wave of stories came in about Hogan. Right. And to be honest with you, I gotta be honest with you, what he said about President Obama, like, it was kind of foolish what he said, the context where he said it, but if you take that in layman's terms, it does make some sense from a layman's terms perspective. Well, if President Obama, when President Obama said that on a podcast to Mark Maron, it wasn't said in the way that Hogan said it. It was said in the way of an example, you know?
Right.
But to me, the word is about the context. And the context Hogan used it was nowhere in shape or form close to where President Obama used it on a podcast. So, I mean, to me, for him to use that as an example to carry on, he was better off keeping his mouth shut, to be honest with you. So that part became more disappointing for me with the Hogan thing as time went on, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. WWE has erased anything that has to do with Hulk Hogan at this point. No merchandise. They don't promote him at all whatsoever. Is that too much at this point, even after all of
this? Okay, look, firing him is one thing. Firing is one thing. That's your MO. You can be, I live in the state of Florida. You can be fired for anything, you know. And it's no fault. It is what it is. They can fire you, you know. And that's just ridiculous, obviously. But, you know, firing Hogan is one thing. That's their business call. The way they can obviously, you know, release him, whatever, that's one thing. What I had an issue with when the business broke was the whole extra mile thing of, okay, not only are we going to fire you, we're going to erase everything that you've ever accomplished in the company and make it seem like it never happened, you know? So basically, we're going to erase the fact that you're in the Hall of Fame, erase the fact that you've won, you know, over 5 or 6 or 7 championships in this company. You know, it's the fact that you've just done this stuff, you know, after the matches, for the matches that you can't erase that's part of the fabric of the company, you know, so that part bothered me, and I think it really bothered me more than anything else for the fact that, you know, given the fact that who's doing the act of going this route, okay, Vince McMahon and company, and knowing what they've done in the past, you know, and having storylines built on very, you know, troubling, you know, racist stereotypes or not. That kind of bothered me in the sense. It was almost hypocritical in the sense. Look, the firing part was good enough. Point made. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I know why they did that, because I'm sure they wanted to show the public, hey, listen, leave me business. And I know the WWE now apparently is going, I don't watch the WWE present day, so I can't speak on this. I'm sure you can. They're going in a more family-oriented route. So they're trying to go the extra mile to show that, but at the same time, that was all just business. You know, I do expect Hulk Hogan to be back on WWE airwaves and on bad things to go back to normal in 2 or 3 years.
I think so too. I think he'll be back in a couple of years or so. The thing was that while he did not look good retweeting the whole President Obama thing, I do think his apology is sincere.
Everything that transpired after the initial firing and the initial first wave, to me, Hogan if I'm Hulk Hogan, stay low, stay up on the guy, take care of this trial you're under, make sure this trial goes your way, and stay at the eye for a couple of years. It's kind of this, you know, you're 61 years old. You have money still. Just go do your own thing and just stay away. And I'm sure things will work out in the end going forward. You have enough fans that support you. And that's the thing, too. A lot of people who are pro Hogan, and a lot of people who are anti Hogan, have actually supported Hogan more than else. Maybe it was me, though, but from what I'm getting at, I feel that there's a lot more support for Hogan than the other way around.
Yeah. Because people have worked with Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Bad News Brown, all those guys. He's worked with all sorts of races and stuff like that. He's worked with The Rock as well, and The Rock has defended him. George Foreman has defended him. I know he's trying so hard to clear his image that he hung out with Mike Tyson the other day, but I know he's sincere. He's just that sometimes there are just some things that he just doesn't know. Like, he's still ignorant to some things, so he's still prone to making these kinds of mistakes. But, again, 2-3 years later, I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan will be back on WWE TV or he'll be remembered again because I think he's learned from his mistake, you know? So.
And real quick, I mean, the answer now, do I think he's racist? No, I don't think he's racist. To me, it's not about what he said, it's about the actions. What makes you racist is your actions, more than else. It is your actual actions. That makes you racist, not just some stupid little quote that happened in some, like, 1 minute like sample on a sex tape. That doesn't make you racist, okay? Well, your actions that you're racist. Like, Donald Sterling's a racist because of his actions with the housing discrimination stuff. Like,
exactly. I've heard comparisons between Donald Sterling and Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan has never at least publicly, have trouble with racist statements like that. Donald Sterling is a repeat offender, and I don't know how he got away with that for 30 years. So,
yeah.
It's just not the same.
This is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
A few days ago, last week, Roddy Piper passed away, and the funny thing is that, like, the last we heard of him, he was defending Hulk Hogan. So, it's not a good week for classic wrestling fans, basically. So, what do you want to say about Roddy Piper?
It's sad, because the first time the news broke, I was literally signing off my radio show, literally a minute after I signed off. You know, I always do my little quick checkup stuff, you know, and I went on the internet just real quick to see what's going on, and then I see a tweet, you know, from a friend of mine that's saying, Roddy Piper died. I'm like, no way. Roddy Piper died?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's funny, because I listen to his podcast regularly, too, on Podcast One. So I do keep up with Roddy Piper, actually, on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And there was no sign of him being sick. You know, a couple of friends of mine have actually saw him in person a couple months before that. A couple of guys I'm associated with, say he looked great, fine. So it was shocking to hear the news. I'm gonna be honest with you, growing up, I wasn't a big Roddy Piper fan in the ring. I never found him to be a great wrestler necessarily. I thought it was a great personality. I wasn't one of those guys that I guess I didn't really appreciate Roddy Piper until I got older. To be honest with you, because you know even when he was both a heel and a face, I always found him. And maybe because I was so excited about the Hogan Macho Man. Era things. I was never really the biggest Piper lover. I learned to appreciate them as I got older. My favorite Piper feud, actually, honestly, is not even so. It's actually a feud that no one talks about. Honestly, the feud I love was the one here with Rick Rude and his family when he returned to WWE back in '89. After he retired for 2 years. That was a my favorite feud. But I'll tell you what, you know, with Roddy Piper and appreciating, as a kid, you don't appreciate promos necessarily as much. As an adult, you do. And then if I got older, I really learned to appreciate Roddy Piper and what he brought not just to the ring, but, you know, to entertainment aspect of the WWF back in the day. And he's definitely one of the main fabrics of what made the WWF and WWE today. When that WrestleMania thing started in '85, he was one of the core guys. It was like three or four core guys that thing was built on. Right, Piper was one of those core guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I choose to remember Piper as a guy that was really that put the entertainment on the sports entertainment along with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And the thing with Piper is that he can turn it on and off. Like, he can turn it on to be like such a huge prick when he does promos, but then when he turns it off, it's like. He, from what I've heard from everybody else, he's one of the nicest guys in the business.
Yeah. That's what you hear, too. He's one of the nicest guys in the business, and he's one of those guys that, like you said earlier, you know, he defended Hogan when this news broke about Hogan's a couple weeks back, and, you know, he better than anybody else knows about Hogan, his character, and if he's defending him, he's giving Hogan that better doubt a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
and he's not without controversy. Like, he's some statements about the WWF, although probably deserved by the WWF, WWE, whatever. But you know,
yeah,
he is one of the best wrestlers of all time. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, one of the best characters of all time, really. Because you mentioned that he's
absolutely
not a great wrestler.
Yeah.
I did love his match with Bret Hart in WrestleMania 8. I know that.
That was great.
But we'll remember Piper as one of the guys that kicked off wrestling, that put it into the mainstream, basically, along with Hulk Hogan. And I choose to remember those guys, Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper, as two of the guys that helped bring wrestling into the mainstream. So while Hogan is vilified and Piper is being hailed as a hero, I think in a way that they are both heroes in a way. And, you know, Hulk Hogan should not be denounced because of one bedroom moment, basically. That's just me.
A very solemn podcast today.
Yeah, but
Somber.
once I get some connection going here with this podcast, we'll talk about some more old school stuff. Hopefully something about 80s cartoons, or, you know, more 80s Saturday morning shows or whatever. So
maybe about Walkmans, I don't know.
All right. Thank you so much, EJ.
Thank you so much to everyone that participated in the podcast. Adam Jacoby, the greatest storyteller of all time. EJ Christian for kicking it old school with me. And to our guest, Sean Hagee from Pro Basketball Talk of NBC and Bleacher Report. All of them are cool, and I am glad to call them my friends. As for the podcast, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the podcast on rayray.net. There's a hyphen between the rays. And you can find the show on Stitcher, and this show is also being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. I apologize for the lack of shows, and I'm still going through a transition phase, and my sister's internet connection is lackluster. Once I'm settled in and I find a good internet connection, the shows will pick up once again. Everyone, thank you so much for your support. Gal Pal Squad, thanks so much for taking care of me. Sean Hyken, thank you so much for your patience. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people, whenever that is.
Ray Ray, I'm gonna get you for this!
Game over, yeah! Oh, it did.